please. James, chapter 4. We've been in this series called Vital Signs for a few months now. We first off started talking about the Bible, the basics in the Christian life, and the first one we pointed out was the Bible. The second one, we've been talking about prayer. I would say that the most important prayer a person can ever pray is that of salvation. We're going to talk about the barriers of prayer today, but and I didn't include this, but one of the greatest barriers to prayer is not being saved. When we pray in Jesus' name because He's our Savior. If He's not your Savior, you have a hard time praying through Him. So that would be the most important thing. So we talked about the basics of prayer, the basis of prayer, the Bible itself. We mentioned several people in the Bible that prayed. We mentioned Jesus lastly, last time we talked about that. We've already stated that if Samson needed to pray, and he did. If Elijah needed to pray, and he did. If Peter needed to pray, and he did. If the Lord Jesus himself, while he was here, if he needed to pray, I dare say we need to pray as well. So I'm talking about prayer. And Jesus prayed often. Matthew 14:23 says this, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But it says there he went up into the mountain apart. Why? To pray. So we're talking about prayer, and he had several different prayers that we looked at. A prayer of consecration we mentioned when he blessed the food for the feeding of the 5,000. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. I mean, so he prayed then. He prayed about asking God to change the way things would have to go for the cross. Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. His humanity was crying out, and yet his deity stepped in and said, no, not my will, but his will be done. The cross, even on the cross, the seven cross sayings, but even there, we find him praying. Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and so on and so forth. But we see Jesus praying often, and again, if Jesus needed to pray, we need to be a people of prayer. In John 17, it's commonly called the high priestly prayer or the real Lord's Prayer. John 17:20 says this, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. God inspired all these different people to pen the Bible. And those folks that have been saved through the years, if you're saved, if I'm saved, we were saved because we heard the word of God and responded to it. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word, Jesus was praying for us. Even back then. So again, if Jesus needed prayer, pray, we need to pray. All right, so barriers of prayer. So far, this has been a nice kind of Bible brainstorming, pleasant pondering, delightful discussions about prayer. We've been talking about stuff in the Bible and really hadn't been anything personal. But you know, today we're going to get kind of personal because we're going to look at barriers of prayer. I've got this at the end, but let me read this verse now. On my blog yesterday, I put this verse on here. Psalm 78:41 says this, yea, they turned back and tempted God. And I was talking about the Israelites. But then it says this, and limited the Holy One of Israel. And limited the Holy One of Israel. Imagine that somebody would limit God. I mean, that's what it says in Psalms. It's the Bible. They limited God through their actions or inactions. They limited what God could do. May I say that if we don't pray, in effect, that's what we're doing. We're limiting the Holy One of Israel. We're limiting God. We're limiting the Lord Jesus. So we're talking about barriers of prayer, things that we can let get in between us and prayer. I mean, as wonderful as prayer is, as wonderful as intercession is, as wonderful as supplication is, we actually get to speak to God. We get to engage the creator of the universe. We get to communicate with the very author of life. I mean, it's big stuff. We get to talk to the self-existent one, the one that has always been and always will be, the only one that's always been and always will be. And God allows us to talk to Him, but, you know, there's some barriers. There's some barricades, if you will. There's some blockades to this wonderful world of prayer that God has provided us. And like we've said throughout the series, we're not trying to be exhaustive and thorough and comprehensive. We want to be helpful and beneficial and supportive and try to encourage folks to pray. So all we've done so far is trying to encourage people to pray. And today, unfortunately, we'll get a little personal. So y'all ready for this? We'll get a little personal. And we're going to use the letter S. I was listening to Brother McGee last week. He's gone now, but he's still on the radio some. And he was giving his points, and he gave a point, and he says, excuse me, and he used a kind of unusual word, but it started with the word S. And he said, all my points have to start with S today. Well, today all my words have to start with S. So they may sound a little funny, but they're all starting with S, and we do that, hopefully, that you'll remember. So first off, barriers to prayer, the first one, and in fact, I think when we had people gave their testimonies of prayer a few weeks ago, one of the people, I think it was Brother Price, came up and said, one of the biggest problems about prayer is people just don't do it. They just don't do it. They don't take the time to pray. And so the first barrier then would be this, skipping. I mean, just not praying at all. Or maybe praying for your food, and that's it. I mean, you don't really engage God at all in prayer for others, and prayer for your family, and prayer for the church, and prayer for the country, and prayer for things that we ought to be praying about. Right. Sometimes we just don't take the time. Sometimes we just don't take the moments. Sometimes we just don't take the opportunity that God has given us to pray and to call upon Him. Commune with Jesus. You should be in James chapter 4. In verse 2 it says this, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war. And then the last part of it says this, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Did you get that? You have not because you ask not. Sometimes folks just skip it. Especially here, I've mentioned this, we live in a time when we don't just ask God for our daily bread. I mean, man, in our refrigerator, we got a week's worth of food to eat, maybe more. I mean, you know, the bills are paid and things are pretty nice, and we go about our lives almost like, well, God, if I need you, I'll call you. We'll use you as a spare tire when we need it. Be a whole lot better to keep Him on the line so when trouble does come, He's right there. You've already established a relationship with Him. But one of the great promises, one of the great pledges, if you will, one of the great principles or paradigms in the Bible is Matthew 7. You know it well. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. God gives us this statement talking about asking, seeking, and knocking. And then He follows up with this in verse 8, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, as you know, many of you have heard preachers talk about this to no end. It's not talking about just asking for something one time. It's not all, it's not speaking of seeking for something one time. It's not specifying that you knock one time. It's asking us to ask and ask and ask and ask and to seek and to seek and to seek and to seek and to knock and to knock and to knock until the answer comes. I mean, you just keep on asking. You keep on seeking. You keep on knocking until an answer will come over and over again. And with this command of asking and seeking and knocking, it gives this promise for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. We have God's promise on this. He tells us to keep asking and to keep seeking and to keep knocking, and he'll answer. But we do have to pray. In order for this to happen, we do have to pray. I mean, we have to bring it up the first time. Now, you say, well, God already knows what I need. I understand that. But evidently, God wants us to bring our needs to him because that's what he's told us to do. He's asked us to bring our needs, our wants, our desires, the things that we need in our lives. He's asked us, even though he knows what we need. And by the way, he probably knows better than we do. But he still asks us to bring these things. And so we do have to pray. We do have to ask. We do have to seek. We do have to knock. The place I'm employed, we run our clinics by schedules. You know, we got appointments. Patients make appointments, and they schedule their appointments. They have planned appointments. Sometimes folks will come in, and they'll have an appointment today, and then they'll have another appointment in another section tomorrow. And so they ask, well, what do you think the chances are of me getting seen on the other clinic at the same today instead of waiting until tomorrow? I always tell them, well, if it was me, I'd go ask. I mean, right now, where we stand, the answer is no. And if you never ask, the answer is no. If you never inquire, the answer is no. I mean, that's where we stand right now. Now, when you go and you ask, the answer might still be no. But you never, I tell them all the time, well, the best thing to do is go up there and ask. I mean, the worst they can do is tell you no. But they might say yes. But you have to ask. And without asking, the answer is already no. And now this is man to man, and we're talking about something where there's not even an appointment till tomorrow. There's not an appointment today. But if you go ask, you might get it. So, in other words, we're talking about a person that does not have a promised appointment today. They don't have a promise. They don't have a scheduled visit today. But they're going to go and ask, and they might get it. When we talk about God, he's given us a promise. He said, if we ask, we'll get. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, he'll open. I mean, he's given us this promise. And so, it's our job, it's our responsibility to go ahead and ask. With Jesus, we have his promise, we have his pledge, we have his passage in God's word, so we can take the time, the opportunity, the efforts to ask and to pray. Take some time. John Rice made this statement, prayerlessness is the grandfather of all sins. Prayerlessness is the grandfather of all sins. Well, we need to ask. So the first barrier then, the first barricade to our prayer life is skipping, just not doing it. You still with me? Number two, stamina. Again, as we pointed out and looked at and read the verses, prayer is not just a one-time deal. Prayer is just not a singular issue or a single shotgun. We're told to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. To seek and seek and seek and seek and seek. And to knock and knock and knock and knock over and over again. Luke 18, in fact, you might look at there. We'll read a few verses in Luke 18. Pray to the Lord. Luke 18:1, it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. This is what he's trying to get at. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Many of you know where this is going. But Jesus is telling this parable with the point being we're supposed to always pray and not to faint or not to stop. Verse 2 saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? But the idea is, you got the story, this judge. Now, I put this in my pocket this morning for a reason. I don't usually wear one of these, but I put it in here for a reason. All right, so we're going to pull out the hanky. All right. Because years ago, there was a fellow by the name of Harold Clayton. Some of you may have been here. It's been a long time ago. He came through, and he preached a message out of this chapter. Now, Brother Clayton, he's an interesting man. He's still going, by the way, the last I knew. But he always looks such a perfect gentleman. I mean, he always wore a double-breasted suit. Every hair was in perfect groomed. He looked so dignified. He wore them glasses with a special tie and a handkerchief in his suit. And he just looked so calculated, so concerned, so conservative. I mean, this guy, I mean, he came up there and just looked, we're in the house of God. I mean, that's what it looked like when you look at him. But then he got up and opened up his mouth and started doing some of his antics. And when he talked about this story here, this count, he talked about the little widow woman. And he put his handkerchief on his head as if it was like a bonnet, you know, and the little widow woman, I mean, this dignified guy put a handkerchief on his head, you know, like I'm doing now. I'm not dignified, so it doesn't look so bad with me, but it looked unusual for him. Again, some of you were here, you probably remember, but the little widow woman avenged me of mine adversary. And the judge, he pulled off, put it here with his tie, and say, the judge say, I don't have time for riprap like you. Go away. Well, about 2:00 the next day, knock on the door. There was the widow woman again. Avenge me of mine adversary. Go away, woman. I ain't got time for you. I ain't got time for riprap. Go away. Get. About 2:00 the next day. Here she comes again. Avenge me of mine adversary. Go away, woman. I ain't got time for you. I ain't got time for you. And over and over and over again, do you get the idea? And finally, it got to the point where the judge says, okay, woman, what is it that I can do so that at 2:00 every afternoon, my day is not ruined? Just tell me what you want. I'll do it. Now, God tells this parable to the intent that men ought always to pray. And then he gives this idea at the end. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect? D.L. Moody used to tell a story of a man who came to him and said, when the Mexican War began, I wanted to enlist. My mother, seeing I was resolved, said if I became a Christian, I might go. She pleaded and prayed that I might become a Christian, but I wouldn't. I said when the war was over, I would become a Christian, but not until then. After her pleading was in vain, and at last, when I was going away, she took out a watch and said, my son, your father left this to me when he died. Take it. And I want you to remember that every day at 12 o'clock, your mother will be praying for you. Then she gave me her Bible and marked out passages and put a few different references in the flyleaf. I took the watch and the Bible just because my mother gave them. I never intended to read the Bible. I went off to Mexico one day while on a long, weary march. I took out my watch, and it was 12 o'clock. I had been gone 4 months, but I remembered that my mother at that hour was praying for me. Something prompted me to ask the officer to relieve me for a little while, and I stepped behind a tree way out of those plains, out on those plains of Mexico, and cried to the God of my mother to save me. God saved him, and after the Mexican War was ended, he said, I have enlisted again to see if I can do any good for my mother's cause. You know why he got saved? Because his mother kept on praying. And not just one, but every day at 12 o'clock. Are you getting the idea that we're supposed to pray, I mean, continually? Got to have some stamina. I read this meme the other day. I thought it was interesting. It said something to the effect, your children may outgrow their training and upbringing, but they can never run away from a parent's prayer. Can never get away from a parent's prayer. So skipping is one of the barriers. Next one is stamina, just kind of running out of steam and not keeping with it. You still with us? Third off, selfishness. Selfishness, again, James chapter 4, where we started in verse 2, says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. Then he says this, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. We're going to go and look at that word amiss. It's an interesting word. But it says, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. In other words, being selfish. The word amiss, because you ask amiss. I got bogged down looking at that word amiss. You know, I like words. And I haven't really got bogged down in words in a little while, but I got bogged down this one for a while. The word amiss there says that this, miserable, to be ill, improperly, wrongly, to speak ill of, revile, that type of thing. Let me read you some verses. The word amiss, it's used a bunch of times, but the only time it's ever translated amiss is this verse right here. Most of the time it's translated something else. Let me read you a few of the verses. Matthew 9:12, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are, here's our word, sick. Most of the time it's translated sick. You ask amiss, you're asking sickly. Mark 1:32, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were, here's our word, diseased. You got a diseased prayer. You got a sick prayer because you're trying to consume it upon your lust because you're being selfish. John 18:23, Jesus answered him, if I had spoken evil, bear witness of the, here's our word, evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Your prayer is evil because it's selfish. Matthew 17:15, Lord, have mercy on my son. Brother Nichols has often said this is, let me think, well, you can put anybody's name in here, you know, my father. You could say my father. This is my father's favorite verse. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. You know, that's a funny. But it says, and sore, there's a word, sore, vexed, for oft times he falls into the fire and oft into the water. So we're talking about being sick. That's what the word amiss is talking about, something that's sick. You know, like sick as a dog, he's one sick puppy. If we use the words that we use with ill, it'll probably help us to understand what that word amiss means a little better. You know, like ill-advised, ill effects, ill repute, ill temper, ill fated. That's this word amiss, because you ask amiss because you're trying to do it for your purposes, for your selfish purposes, not caring about nobody else and nothing else. You ask and receive not, but because you ask amiss or for ill purposes. That you may consume it upon your lust. Are you getting the idea? I hope you're getting this. So this type of prayer is not just selfish. It's clearly ill-fated. Some of those types of prayers would be, and not limited to, I want $10 million. God, give me $10 million. Or, I want to win the lottery. I don't play the lottery. I don't believe in it. But if you play the lottery and win, I mean, make sure you tithe, all right? Okay. I want a new Lamborghini. I don't just want a Lamborghini. I want a new one. I want to be the most handsome person alive. Now, I don't have to pray that because I already am, but you know. Okay. But you know what I'm saying. I want my name in lights. I want some type of position so people can see me. Those type of things. It's totally different type of prayer when George Mueller prayed for supplies and linens and needs and food, etc., for 300 children in his orphanage. I mean, he needed a lot of stuff for them. So it's totally different for him to pray and ask God to supply the needs for all these children that God had put under his tutelage and he was supposed to be watching over. Than for you to say, well, I'm by myself and I want all this stuff for me. God says that if it's a prayer like that, that's ill-fated. It's coming from a sick place. I'm not going to answer. By the way, we definitely can pray for Liberty Baptist Church buses. Did buses make it out and back in today good? Amen. I hope everybody's been praying. I asked everybody to pray. I put on my little blog. And then Brother Blocks was mentioning that a lot. But we ought to be praying and pray for the extra bus. I mean, pray for this type of stuff. God listens. But we have to do it, and that would not be a selfish purpose. That would be to try to further the cause of Christ, and God listened to that. So, anyway, skipping, stamina, selfishness, still with me? Sin unconfessed. Psalm 66:18 puts it this way. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord will not hear me. Whenever I pray, my first step, my first words, my first phrase is always, Lord, please forgive me. And I go through my list and ask God to forgive me of sins. Because I already know if there's sin there, he ain't going to listen. If I have sin that's between him and me, he's not going to give me a hearing. That's an obstruction. That's a barrier. That's a barricade to prayer. My first thing is always God, and I go through the list. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 3, he continues this thought. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Talking about fellowship. Being together. I mean, having this fellowship together. Many folks have used these verses and say we establish our relationship with the Lord Jesus by getting saved, but then we have to confess our sins to restore fellowship. Now, we don't lose our relationship, but we do lose our fellowship when we have sinned. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But you say, but wait a minute. He's talking about walking in the light. We have to walk. We have to be perfect. I mean, we have to live a sinless life in order to keep this fellowship together. I mean, that's what it sounds like. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Oh, man. Count me out. I mean, I know some of you have got halos, but I lost mine a long time ago. And without Jesus, I'm not going to heaven. Well, that's why verse 9 is in there. Because he follows it up and says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin unconfessed. That's a barrier. That's a barricade for our prayers. And we need to get that settled before we continue to pray. Much like the fellowship between a parent and a child, when the fellowship is broken, child's probably not going to get anything extra from the parent. And we don't get nothing from God either. He's not going to listen. So it's sin unconfessed. These are barriers or barricades to our prayers. So skipping, stamina, selfishness, sin unconfessed. And then the fifth one would be spiteful. I called it spiteful. Again, I want to get all these words start with S. Matthew 5:23, therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So he first off mentions that maybe somebody else has something against you, and you need to go get that clear. In the next chapter, he puts it this way, and forgive us, when he's talking about the model prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 14 says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Ooh, Brother Nichols was talking about this the other day. Ooh, you mean if we don't forgive somebody else, he ain't going to forgive us? That's what it sounds like. It's a barrier to our prayer, because if we have sin in there, God ain't going to listen. So if we're spiteful towards somebody else, God's not going to listen. Once we have the great deterrence of fellowship and association, union, togetherness, once we get all that together by confessing our sins, but we're unforgiving of others, so you've got to take care of that. You've got to take care of that. Gary Leon Ridgway is better known as the infamous Green River Killer. In 2003, he confessed to the murders of 48 women. In 2011, Ridgway was convicted of the murder of Rebecca Marrera, bringing the victim count up to 49. By his own confession, he may have murdered as many as 60 women. Ridgway especially despised prostitutes and targeted them for his killing. At Ridgway's 2003 sentencing, the families of the victims had opportunity to speak out and address Ridgway directly. Understandably, many were angry and lashed out at Ridgway for the unimaginable grief he had put them through, as Ridgway stonily listened to the family members express their grief and anger. And one person came up and said something unexpected. So far you got this guy that's killed all these women, and these family members have come up and they're just ragging on him because they're mad. I get that. You kill one of my children, yeah, it's on. When the time came for Robert Rule, the father of teenage victim Linda Jane Rule, to speak. Now remember, all these folks that come up there and talk about how mad they were at him, he looked like a stone. When time came for Robert Rule, the father of teenage victim Linda Jane Rule, to speak, Ridgway finally showed a glimpse of remorse. Rule's words to Ridgway were, Mr. Ridgway, there are people here that hate you. I'm not one of them. You've made it difficult to live up to what I believe, And that is what God says to do, and that's to forgive. You are forgiven, sir. These words brought Ridgway to tears. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to put into practice, you know, forgive others. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do that. Somebody killed my kid. But he did. Everybody else ragged on him, and he just sat there. This guy said this brought him to tears. But unforgiving others, putting in a position where you won't forgive others, God says, if you don't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you. Now, if you're saved, the relationship will still be intact, but the fellowship will be fractured unless you can forgive others. Now, most of the time, it's not this type of wrong that was done with Ridgway to this Mr. Brule. Most of the time, it's not that drastic. Most time, folks, we need to forgive. It's not something like that. It's something small, something petty that we're just kind of holding on to. But God wants us to forgive folks. And without us forgiving others, God says there's going to be no union, no alliance, no intimacy, no fellowship, no forgiveness to us. We can't have that fellowship if we're carrying around for others. We started off Psalm 78:41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. We can likewise limit God by allowing these barricades, these blockades, these barriers of prayer to stay in place. So we talked about the basics of prayer, the basis of prayer, the barriers of prayer. And we ought to commit ourselves to be warriors of prayer for our family, for our church, and for ourselves, our country. Our servicemen, our police officers, firemen, that type of stuff. We ought to be prayer warriors. Brother Moss, you ought to keep the Moss family in prayer. I understand that I lost his sister last night. So you ought to be in prayer for the Moss family. Well, next time, Lord willing, we'll look at the byway of prayer. I call it, for lack of a better word, the highway to heaven. How do you get your prayers up to heaven? We're going to talk about that. The highway to heaven, the highway to God's ears, the highway to answered prayer, and we'll look at that next time. I believe that'll be the last installment on prayer. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. Avenge me of my adversaries. Let's use that and bring our request before God, do it over and over and over again until he answers. All right, we'll pray and then we'll be dismissed. Father, I ask that you bless what's been said. Help us to put these things into practice in our lives. Help us indeed to be a people of prayer. We need your help to do that. Bless these folks. Love them. Bless the service to come. In Jesus' name I pray.